Cape Talk. Call Refilwe now on 021-446-0567.
And as a general note about coverage, I do think that perhaps this kind of stuff happens in South Africa all the time, these sort of incidents, all the time. Every single day people are like killed, humiliated, have their stuff pissed on, whatever, all that stuff. And it happens across all colors, but it only gets reported when it's a black person does it to a white person. I mean, a white person does it to a black person. That's the only time it gets reported. The rest of the time, it's just not newsworthy, right? So why is it so newsworthy that it must make headlines? I don't know. Maybe you guys do actually make a little more out of it than there actually is to it.
Okay, I'm willing to take that on. I mean, and take it on, and meaning as in as fair feedback. And I hope my colleagues at EWN are paying attention to this. Again, I want to just say, you know, for me, the bigger story today actually is Elton Yankees. That's the big story. That's the story I actually asked my producers to chase. I wanted to get a lawyer to help me understand how aviation law works. Yeah. So, which jurisdiction governs the behavior of punching a door so hard that your knuckles bleed? And obviously, as we saw in the reports, the eyewitnesses would like not to be identified, so I imagine they wouldn't want to come on air. And would it have helped me to understand, are we looking at UAE law because it was an Emirates flight? Are we looking at South African law because he was landing in South Africa? Are we looking at Turkish law because he left Turkey? And what governs what's right and wrong in that behavior? But here we are. As I started off the show, when I actually was talking about the Stellenbosch incident, I started the show asking the question, was this even racist at all? So, by the way, please don't put this on Cape Talk. The sentiment is coming from your WhatsApps. I'm saying this guy is disgusting and rude. I think he's too drunk to be coherent, so I don't know if this was a targeted attack. But the feedback I keep getting, and this is what I'm now commenting on with regards to race, is upon discovery that it was a white boy who did this, is the most hectic defense of whiteness, of his rights as a silly young man who just was drunk, and I was also drunk once, and of why you're pulling the race card. And I'm calling it out, and I want you to pay attention to how supremacy works. I want you to observe how, even if it's undetectable to you, I want you to observe how it is working. A disgusting act, which I already dismissed at the beginning of the show as just that, and I did not necessarily ascribe to race, once discovered who actually participated in it, has become, as I said earlier, and I said it purposefully, you found your voice this morning. It has become a clarion call in defense of whiteness in general. David, who called in before the 8 o'clock news, gave us a diatribe of the white experience in South Africa. We were so far removed from the incident in Stellenbosch by the end of his call. We'd gotten all the way to his parents being tied up. We'd gotten all the way to what we do as media coverage. We'd gotten all the way to numerous spaces, which, again, even if I might not agree with all of them, are valid because it's how he feels. But this morning, when a white young man had to take accountability for his disgusting behavior, whiteness found a voice on this show. And I want you to be cognizant of how it works. And the confidence with which that woman called in and said blue, black, purple, green, bleh. Why does color matter? It matters. Are you not seeing? And because unfortunately, what is excused or what is assumed about whiteness is that it's the absence of race-based behavior. Because it is the norm, it is assumed that when I act rationally, when I act in the defense of whiteness, I'm just acting rationally like any normal person. And it is dismissed the extent to which it corrals together in defense of itself. And that's fine. We all defend ourselves amongst those who are like us. That's fine. But the only problem is, you know that whole saying, the biggest trick the devil ever pulled was to that it doesn't exist? That's what whiteness does. Don't know what you're talking about. It's got nothing to do with race. Don't know what you're talking about. It's got nothing to do with race. But this morning, a range of white people found the boldness to step up in defense of this white boy. That is defending itself. Jodie Alamaya, good morning.
Good morning, Rufiwe.
How are you doing?
Fine. Well, yeah, we're in a family dispute, so.
And I love my family, even if we disagree.
Yeah. Yeah, I have so much to say on this. I mean, the whole sort of pink and blue thing, you know, I always sort of say to people, we need to, I understand that sort of desire to be in a post-racial society, but we aren't there. And race still very much plays a role in what type of school you go to, what kind of house you live in, what kind of job you get, how you're treated in society, all of that. And if as white people, we are not listening to the experiences of black people, we are just erasing that. And that language is just erasing the experiences of black people. And here a black person has said this was a racist incident. He's posted a video where in the video, the TN says it's a white thing, boy. And people are disputing if this was a racist thing or not.
Mm.
You know, the victim has said it was a racial thing. In the video, Tian says it's a white thing, boy. To me, it's, you know, that's the facts of the story.
I didn't see that part. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No matter how drunk I get, I don't start making racial slurs and bullying people of a different race. So that must be charged appropriately. And I understand the callers who say there are other crimes in this country and there are other types of interpersonal disputes. But seeing this incident for what it is does not diminish those incidences in any way. And we have to be able to stand up against what this is and not see it as taking anything else away from our other issues in society.
For sure. For sure. And Jodie, if I may say, I like talking about color. In the same way that I like talking about a pretty person, a tall person, a short person, a slender person, or a wide person, it is part of our identifier that a person is white, black, or whatever. The point really is whether or not you put a discount on one of those descriptions.
Yeah.
It's not actually race baiting to mention that I'm black. I like black. I see your color, and it's beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, so I always appreciate your very sage perspectives. Thank you for calming me down. 4 minutes before the end, girl.
Thank you.
All right, have a good day. Okay, bye.
Yes.
Let's listen to these voice notes.
I just wanted to respond to, I think, David in Durbanville, who was trying to compare what happened in Waukesha in November with the black African-American person running over white people during a Christmas parade, and trying to compare that to what happened in Buffalo recently. I think there's some key differences in the two incidents. The person in Waukesha, the African-American man, did have mental health issues beforehand, seemed to be in a domestic disturbance before that, and was obviously not in his right mind. But the key difference is that he did not have an explicit racist agenda, whereas the person in Buffalo had posted a white supremacy manifesto. So there's a key difference, and I think that can be extended into many other examples, that it's not as simple as David and Durbanville would make it out to be to compare what he calls black on white crimes versus white on black crimes. I think there's definitely space for more nuance, and the media definitely has blind spots, but I think we need to protect the nuance, and we definitely need to have honest conversations and complex conversations rather than trying to draw direct parallels that simplify the matter, I think, to a dangerous extent.
Hi, Rufiwe. Good morning. I hope you're well. The quick thing is, with this whole Stellenbosch University thing, my thing is, why was there another guy with a camera? So my question is, was it planned? But why would you be recording it? Just a question.
I would definitely film a person urinating on my belongings. For insurance, for the school, for having him expelled, I would 100% film it. I'd call my friend and I'd be like, just film this thing. this guy is peeing all over my stuff. Tandy in Gardens, good morning.
Hi, Rafaela. Whiteness has no bounds. Thank you very much for taking my call to weigh in on this meeting. But, you know, my sister goes to Stellenbosch, and these kids are currently sitting, and she is black. They're sitting in their residences going, you know, am I next? They are, the psychological trauma of this whole situation is a very, very big deal. Secondly, I don't know if you know, but the Hate Crimes Bill in South Africa for the first time is hearing, Parliament is hearing oral hearings of the Hate Crimes Bill. And I think it's a very important piece of legislation. I mean, the lawyers will weigh in whether this was a crime or not, but I think it's important that when these things happen, the motive behind the incident is prosecuted too. And currently in this country, if you're queer and you're murdered as a result of being queer, it's just murder. It's not reported as a hate crime. And I think that, you know, we need to all weigh behind this bill being enacted, sure, because it protects even the white people who are talking about their farmers.
You feel that they are targeted themselves. Yes, absolutely. It would protect them too. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you for that, Tanya. And thank you for coming to an end, because I have to hand over to Lester.